Blog Talk Radio.
Can I just turn here with you? This is what I am, what I am. Understand, I don't give a damn. This is who I am, who I am. Man, I don't give a damn. This is what I am, what I am. And I just don't give a damn. Take me as I am, as I am. And my G's still pumping. Sold on the culture, you know that my dough's your culture. Game over, soldier, I'm schooling.
Listening live.
We'll do it live! Yes.
Of course, unless you're not listening live. This is the Pro Wrestling Torch East Coast Cast. It is Wednesday, December 30th, 2020. I'm your host, I'm Travis Bryant, and joining me, per usual, but in a second, will be Cameron Hawkins. First off, in the meantime, let me go ahead and give out all the pertinent contact information. This here is an interactive show, so there are many ways of reaching out and contacting us. Do one or all of the preceding things here. If you want to have your voice heard on the show, there are two ways of going about that. First way, fine, to us. Hit up the constellation lines, and we will talk to you, Cam and I, live on air tonight. Hit us up at 347-202-0103. Once again, that's 347-202-0103 to talk to us live on air tonight. If you can't call us live, but you want to have your voice heard, hit us up on the voicemail line. The voicemail gives you 3 unadulterated minutes to ask your questions, pose your comments, rant, rave, whatever's on your mind. The voicemail line is there for you. Hit the voicemail line at 415-787-5229. Once again, that's 415-787-229. You can always drop us an email as well. The mailbag is always open, constantly being refreshed. Hit us up anytime during the week, anytime during the show. You can find us at eastcoastaudioshow@gmail.com. eastcoastaudioshow@gmail.com. Let us know somewhere in the subject or the body of the email which segment, VIP or non-VIP, that you want your email read. You can find us on Twitter. Find the show at East Coast Cast, twitter.com/EastCoastCast. You can find my personal Twitter at TravLord. And you can find Cam's Twitter at Seahawk. That's CEE Hawk. And the last bastion of Get Adage, find us on Facebook. The Facebook fan page can be found at facebook.com/PWTorchEastCoastCast. Go over there, give us a like, share us on your timeline, tag your wrestling pals in it, spread the word that way. Y'all know how it works. And, okay, so without further ado, let's go ahead and bring on Cameron Hawkins. Cam, welcome to the show.
Always good to be here.
I was expecting you to have the mush mouth going. Or at least you got to warn me. But you sound fine.
Nah, I think they gave the right dosage, so I'm okay. It seems to be going away faster than it took to get here, so it's a good thing.
Good. You're about to be stunting on them hoes in about 12 months or something. You're about to.
Man, it's going to be 2022. 2022 going to be different, man. Yeah, man. Brand new mouth. Yeah, it should be cool.
All right. We have things to talk about. Certainly television things.
Yeah.
And there's also drama, unnecessary, but necessary drama to talk about. Where do we start, Cam? I'm going to put the onus on
you. This is where we start. Yeah, this is where we start. Like, I think one of the goals of the news is to never be the news, you know?
For sure.
That's not something you necessarily want. So where do we start? We start with the passing of John Hubert, better known to the world as most recently Brody Lee, probably most popularly as Luke Harper. Brody Lee passed away at 41. Leaves behind a wife and kids. You know, passed from an unspecified, unclear, a lung issue. When I say unspecified, uncleared, I just mean how the information was presented from his wife. It was a lung issue that he had. You know, I'm stressed that it was non-COVID related. Yeah, and at 41, passed away. Just, you know, when you see stuff like this, you know, Travis, we're used to, I want to say we, you know, us being, you know, in the now mid to late 30s, you know, we're used to like the Rick Rudes of the world, who we know, and the Kurt Hennings of the world, who, you know, passed away way too soon. And, you know, there are reasons behind that. But something like this, where it might not be as clear, sad state of affairs, man. I think that probably the best thing that I can say, you know, we talked about Pat Patterson, and when somebody passes, we typically bring them up and we discuss Hidden Road Warrior, Hawk, and, you know, we've kind of gone run the gamut of different people who have passed away. I think Hawk was before us. I'm thinking about somebody else. But I don't know if I've ever seen somebody pass away who was so universally appreciated by his peers, not even just respected, but genuinely appreciated. Just every company, you know, at every level had somebody who just had the most glowing words about the guy. And probably the coolest thing, like, if somebody says something nice about you, that's great. When everybody says the same nice thing about you, I think that's so, so amazing. And it was just how much he adored his family, you know, and somebody who, you know, is known the world over, somebody who, you know, physically commands such a respect, you know, for that to be the thing people remember most about him, I think is just the sweetest thing, man. And it makes it all the more sad, you know, for him to be gone at such a young age with young kids. And yeah, it's been tough for everybody, you know, watching like Big E just have mountains of things to say about him, watching these kids in the Dark Order talk about how he looked out for them and brought them along, watching whatever indie wrestler you can pluck from talk about, you know, the cool thing he said to him, or how he didn't have to give in a match and he ended up giving so much. Yeah, just a tragedy, man. I don't know how else to look at it. It is really a tragedy.
Yeah, it is one of those things where it's like, it's heartening when you hear like how good of a guy he was, but then you're like, why does like such a good guy have to that everybody like?
Yeah.
You know, not that you'd be feel better if some asshole dies, but it certainly
I would,
there's an extra.
I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, you try not to publicly at least. Yeah, it's just. Like, I didn't know a ton about the person. I don't think a lot of us do. I mean, we know the man on TV. We know Brody Lee. We know Luke Harper and his all of his incarnations since he's debuted. But getting to know somebody posthumously is it's tough, especially when they were such a good person. It's dueling feeling.
Like,
it's like I'm so
like
glad.
Him.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Yeah, even if I didn't know him personally or wasn't
somebody
even
who
his biggest
making
fan, it's
their
like,
world better. You know, like
yeah.
Like,
fuck, so many people like
him because he was around, man, and outside of his family, like it's just. Well, I mean, if you got to go, and certainly he left too early, but at whatever age, man, that if you could have a reception or response, I'm sure that's the one you'd be going for, the one that he got. Just a beautiful thing, man. It absolutely is. And, you know, WWE they definitely did a tribute graphic, but they absolutely let the wrestlers go out there, and they were doing his discus lariat, and, you know, the Drew comes out and does the It's Monday, so you know what that means. Like, yeah, there were nods, and I think that, and we'll probably get into this more, but I think one of the reasons that WWE didn't do a large-scale tribute to the guy is because they wanted to let AEW do a large scale tribute to the guy. Like there's synergy between these companies, regardless of what people say. You know what I mean? There are things that they can reach out and talk to each other about. And I think when somebody passes, it's one of those times that, you know, you kind of break party lines and you're like, okay, if you guys have something planned for the guy, you know, we'll scale back, allow you guys to do your thing, and maybe we can talk about what we're doing. You know, it's
See, I didn't even think of it
AEW,
in those
you know.
Terms. I
saw somebody kind of bring that up, and I was like, man, that makes perfect sense. You know what I mean? Especially with how glowingly all their wrestlers are clearly talking about him. You know, that's not just your peers like you. It's got to be some front office in there, too. And we're all kind of familiar with his situation, you know. Came in, part of the Wyatt family, put on probably, and somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, you've probably been watching longer than I have in more detail, but if they had a best six-man match, it's probably Shield Wyatt family. You know, I'm sure Shield Evolution is up there, but Shield Wyatt family is probably the best, best six-man tag they've had. Usos, Rowan and Harper, one of the best tag team matches absolutely in the last 15 years. You know, Luke Harper had his solo run as IC champ. Luke Harper was part of the Bludgeon Brothers. I think ultimately, you know, he thought that he had more to give. There was some creative frustration. Goes to AEW and is, you know, head of the Dark Order. AEW fans specifically, you know, huge fan of that outfit. I thought he came across well as, you know, cult leader. And then they had him kill Cody, had him run through Cody, you know, gave him all kinds of promo time. And even if there were complaints about how closely it might have been to, like, a Vince McMahon early on, I think overall people enjoyed the gimmick, you know, especially people who would consider themselves diehard AEW fans. You know, he was at his creative peak as far as being on major TV. And yeah, it just, man, you're rolling. You know what I mean? You're rolling. You're probably in the position that you want to be in by all accounts. And, yeah. And here we are.
Yeah. I didn't know he was as old as he was. If I had to guess, I would have thought he was about 37 or 38, but I guess that's not.
Yeah. I would have put him under 40. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But you assume, you know, if you're 41 and you're positioning yourself, new company, new folks, like, okay, this is most likely my last stop, right? Like, you would hope I have a nice 5-year run in me and I can really make a difference, you know, in this new company and get some young guys over.
Yeah.
And be proud of.
Yeah, and again, like, actual, like match quality. Like, you look at him and Moxley. Like, he has bangers. You know what I mean? Like, even on this second run. Like, it wasn't just ex-WWE guy gets a shot to do stuff. Like, there was absolutely effort and work there, not just on the creative side, but on the in-ring side. Like, he was cooking, man.
Oh, yeah. That was never. I mean, that was probably one of the reasons
he
was in WWE. We were calling for the guy to get a real singles push, like push Luke Harper, you know, like in a real way, because we could see. I mean, when he would have, you know, when he would get in with guys that could work, like Brian or and he would, you know, where he could be the big, you know, be the, just play the big man and just work his ass off. Yeah, it fucking sucks.
Yeah,
you have to talk about this stuff.
He's one of the guys, and we joke about it, but he's one of the guys who, you know, if everybody's doing a suicide dive on the show, he's also doing it, and it looks great. It looks great. Big ass doing a suicide dive.
Did you hear this thing
great
about his shirt?
Yeah, man.
I didn't hear. I never heard this story.
Yeah,
while
that's amazing.
Luke Harper.
Like he,
I don't know
like,
how that slipped by. But he was diligent
about
making his smelly,
like, the shirt
gross-looking
was never dirty.
Shirt. being really clean, though.
Yeah. Yeah, he's out there using I don't know. Like, I don't know what you put on it. Like, he's in Hobby Lobby getting the non-smell paint and lets it sit out on a line for a day and then washes it three times, but only with water. Yeah, man. He was on it. And they said he would go and have, individual play feuds with all of the women on the roster just about stuff. Like, they said he used to get on Natty for stealing his discus lariat. Like, him and Naomi would just walk up to each other and start burying each other out of nowhere. Like, he was just a good guy.
Wow.
A good, hilarious guy.
We found out Brody Lee had a roast game. Like, that he was,
he was really busting on people. Apparently, he's a huge, he's 41 and, like, a huge Drake fan. Like, he was tapped in.
Okay.
You know, like, yeah.
We're gonna find out. Luke Harper, when he was back then, roasted the shit out of Roman Reigns when he wore that bulletin bullshit ass jeans. And then did a photo shoot or whatever the fuck he did. And we're gonna find out. Yeah, that's why he never wore them jeans again, because Luke Harper let him have it.
Oh man.
All right, now to the part where the
Roman comes out in like his actual outfit. And he's like, yeah, you got it.
No, I don't even want to think about that. But here's the part where the news made himself news.
Okay.
The OG of the Torch, Bruce Mitchell, goes and writes an article, writes a column about Brody Lee, John Huber's passing, and. Boy, did he, I don't want to say worded things wrong, because I think he would call in if he was listening and go, I didn't word it wrong. I said it the way I said
That's
it.
That's exactly what I meant to say is what he would say.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
How you can describe the column or article that Bruce wrote in the wake of Huber's passing? Time.
I think most plainly.
Tone deaf?
Yeah, I think I would say, yeah, tone deaf, of course, because it's. I think we kind of know his process. We know the things that get his wheels turning. Like, when I say we, I mean me and you. Like, we kind of talk to him on that level, and when an idea sticks with him, he's beating away at that computer. You know what I mean? I think that he didn't take into account the human aspect of what we were dealing with. Like, we didn't find out that, and we'll, just for familiarity, guys, we're probably going to refer to him a lot as Brody Lee. But he didn't get Brody Lee passes from ESPN. You know what I mean? Got Brody Lee passed from a detailed, heartfelt message from his widow, and looked at that and examined that and determined that from there we needed more information. And if for any reason we're not getting a full account of his illness, we need that for lack of a better term, the greater good. Yeah, that's. I feel like I'm about getting to where I should get on that. Am I missing anything? Am I being too heavy? What do you think?
No, that was it. And what got everybody, or most people that were upset, was the idea that you said, like, this his wife put that out. So it has. So you're saying they're hiding something, and also the timing. Like, this is, like, next day.
It's the day after.
The news is – you don't want the news of someone's death breaking alongside the story of your coverage of that, right? Like, that's just not – like you said, you don't want to make – you're the news. You don't want to be the fucking news.
Mm-hmm.
And people hadn't even had a chance to digest the fact that their friend – in a lot of cases, is gone, and they took that personally. I don't think it was a you know, I don't think Bruce Mitchell is a bad person, a bad fucking journalist, any of those things. You just have to understand, like you said, the human element. You could be right. You could be technically, and I love being right. I love being right so much. Please tell me when I'm wrong and expose me on air just so I'm not walking around being wrong. I hate being wrong, so whatever. I don't, but so what? It don't matter if you have, if 2 + 2 = 4, if for some reason 4 makes people feel some kind of way, you can't, that's a terrible analogy, but you just can't ignore human feeling, right or wrong, correct or incorrect. You have all the facts on your side,
and
you could be righteous in your Like, I don't think anybody believes Bruce is I hope they don't think Bruce was trying to be a fucking piece of shit and be like needling Mrs. Huber or anybody in his family, his fan base, or his friends. But again, you can have everything lined up and on your side, in a technical sense, and be righteous with your seeking for answers, but you can't. You don't get the, not that he is,
to give
but
you, you
know, there's a reaction, and people have the right to go, hey, I don't.
To put it like,
I don't appreciate that. Or
to
how
put
you
it
went
frankly,
about
like this. Imagine it like this. Imagine it like this, right? And again, I don't wish this on nobody, and this is not what happened, but just to kind of put a firm idea in your heads on how people are taking this, if for any reason you're not quite grasping it, because that happens. Imagine that you are in a hospital holding your loved one's hand, and they pass right there with you. And then somebody looks in the doorway and says, okay, what really happened? Like, that's what this was, you know? Like, or even worse, you walk outside of there crying, starting to gather yourself, and somebody's sitting there on a bench outside of the room and says, okay, what really happened? Like, you can't – that's what it was, you know? And then let's – we. I feel like we have to tell the whole story because as bad as that is, right? That's not – that's what upset people, but that's not what sent people over the edge.
Right.
It's what you referred to a second ago. It was more important for him in the moment to be right than to have compassion, you know. And just to – for everybody to understand, like, you know, it's – the information's out. The information is sitting there for a while and, you know, people start to read it and Bruce chooses to be defensive in the moment, you know, because he believes that he's justified in what he's saying. And that's what compounds it. It's, I'm not wrong. It's a lot of arguing back and forth. It's a lot of, you need to understand what the real problem is, which turns into the story being taken down from the Torch site, but Bruce feeling the need to repurpose and republish it on, I guess, a private site that he had, and then Bruce feeling the need to the next day post a tweet thread about why he was justified in what he did, followed by him nonchalantly going off to other business. So it was... it was a long, drawn-out process as to why people found issue. And what was the real problem? If people already have an idea about you in their head, if people have heard things about you for a long time, when you give them a chance to justify it, whether they were wrong or not, I mean, you've done the work for them, you know? It in no way makes the past things that you may have been accused of true, but it does make those things very hard to defend.
It certainly gives people ammo to you know, if they had, or if they had an axe to grind already. You know, I mean, you just see any of the, any random thread or comments on the thread on Twitter, and it's just, like, you see people, like, a lot of people care more about, you know, taking a shit on Bruce than what even the issue is, Brody Lee being on, or anything surrounding the questions were raised that started this whole thing. Like, you don't care. A lot of people don't care about any of that stuff, or certainly not enough to get them. It's, oh, here we go. Now I'm righteous in my fucking, you know, indignation, and I can fucking dunk on the guy and be a piece of shit on social media and get a bunch of likes off of it because, you know, it's, that's the fucking culture we live in. You know, just pile on meanness and all that, but
and
that's,
what's the icing
that's,
on the
that's
cake?
A consequence of just
the
living
on the cake is,
and being on fucking Twitter.
Yeah,
I mean, you have to understand what
she put out. Yeah, she put out a second statement, like just expressing her grief and the things that she's going through, what her family's going through, and then includes a paragraph about so-called wrestling journalists feeling the need to get the truth out when I've told you the truth. That didn't help. You know, and that you know, when they hit you with the Notes app twice, buddy, you know, I what can you do? Like she is 100% justified in feeling like that, you know? And I'll say this. We could find out that, you know, we could find out Brody Lee passed from COVID tomorrow. Nobody is going to change their stance on how she feels or what he did, because he nullified that by, like we talked about at the beginning, not recognizing the human aspect, the human element of it all. He took her agency, man. He took her agency. He took that family's ability to grieve. They have to not only grieve a lost husband and a lost father, but they also have to look at, you know, being called, you know, at the very least, unbecoming with information in the moment, you know. It sucks, man. It sucks all around. And, you know, I first and foremost feel terrible for that family. First and foremost, terrible for the family. Second, terrible for anybody who considers him friend and is mourning him. And very, very distantly, a super distant third, the people under our umbrella who had nothing to do with this and are catching shots over it. It's so unfair, you know. Because we got people who, first and foremost, are wrestling fans. And so they feel that. They feel like they lost something. And to want to eulogize a man, to want to appreciate a man, to want to talk about a man, and then at least in the moment, nobody wants to hear from you because, you know, somebody in the fold said something crazy. Like, it's just bad all around. It did not benefit anyone. No one feels like they have more information. No one feels like they can rest easier. Nobody feels like what they've done or what they've seen is good. Like it's really bad. Not as bad as losing a husband, losing a father. But it's really bad. It really is.
Yeah. I guess that's as good a place to leave it as any. Need to drag it out. But yeah, now let's talk about some TV happenings. We had a really good, SmackDown might have been the best thing. Well, I didn't see a ton, but, it was the best match I saw, but probably the only full match I saw as well. So, Owens and
yeah, was that? No, that's the highest rated SmackDown since when? Is that the highest rated SmackDown of the year?
I didn't see that report, that metric.
I think it did. I know it did 3.3 million. So I think that might be the highest rated episode of the year.
What? Where all the people are getting extra million?
Yeah. That's it. I saw 3.3 million. Somebody let me know if I'm capping.
Okay.
But yeah. You know, it's Christmas. Everybody's absolutely at the house or at somebody's house. It's the weird bizarro Christmas where ain't nowhere to go. Ain't nothing to do. It's like, okay, WWE has a live show on Christmas. Title match, Roman Reigns. I guess we'll watch that. Yeah.
And I think when they announced that the match was going to be, my first reaction was, what? They're going to have it the day after Christmas? Or no, Christmas Day? And
Christmas night,
whenever.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, that's a terrible idea. This is my initial instinct. And I think you or whoever I was on with was like, no, I think that's actually going to work out. And I stopped and thought about it. I was like, oh, that's probably actually not the worst idea. And then it turns out to be a killer idea.
Yeah.
So that is.
Yeah, for sure.
Wow. And also, we had a Big E win the IC title on the same show. So that's
And then not just Big E win the IC title. Big E get the big baby face locker room comes out and hoists you up, win the title.
Right. Yeah,
like
yeah.
They're going there.
Probably one of the better SmackDowns, and it was rewarded for. You know, building up to a couple of matches logically and timing wise, everything worked for all the matches that the important matches they had on that show. And yeah, just that cage match was fantastic, and to open the show with it, I thought was a really good idea. Just start the show really hot. And what a finish. It was a little clunky trying to get that thing on, and Owens, like, not being able to get out of it. But, you know, being able to look past that little bit, it was just such a good, heart-wrenching, you know, fuck you finish, man, to the fans. It's not fuck you, like, in a, you know, just definitely want to smack the shit out of Jey Uso and catch Roman Reigns in the streets, you might, you know.
My fault. Not
be upset with him.
Yeah, let me tell you, Travis, I'm sorry. A 3.336 rating. First hour drew 4 million people. So they were higher than I said.
Damn. What?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, it was nothing.
Yep,
well, wasn't there like Christmas football and stuff on? And then certainly was Christmas basketball all day. How did they manage to snatch up so many viewers?
Right, give me just a second.
What is with this homepage? Where is, like, page 2? I am confused. Anyway, we had Jeff Hardy tapping out to the Hurt Lock in a row in ragdoll fashion. So the Hurt continues to be one of the things happening on Raw. We had Charlotte and Asuka defend the women's tag titles in a gauntlet match? And
was
this
it a gauntlet
was
or was it a fatal four way?
It was some it was some kind of eliminate. If it was a fatal four way, it was an elimination because certainly the first fall didn't end it. But coming out of that, just Bianca Belair taking a pinfall 2 weeks in a row. Man, I didn't. Like, at all.
Yeah.
But, we had Ricochet. You know, after the last couple of weeks, you know, kind of getting bounced around by Retribution, they do the thing where they let him unbelievably run through like six guys in, you know, cartoon fashion. But it was fine. Like, Ricochet can pull that kind of stuff off. And then the fake joining the group and Ricochet getting another one over on him. I don't get what's happening with Retribution. I certainly don't get what's happening with Ricochet. I mean, I guess he's probably just happy to be getting a win on TV and not being
right,
not being literally bounced around between you know, 70 or 7 footers on Retribution. But I just think about a year ago, or you know, where we were, where certain characters were, where certain acts were. And, boy, oh boy. Anyway. So, yeah, what were you,
I'm right there with you. I was going to throw in, you know, we do have a, Keith Lee is the number one contender to the, WWE title. You're getting him and Drew on Monday. Like, I'm keeping why don't you save that for the Rumble? But maybe they do him and Sheamus, or
I was just about to bring up Sheamus. I don't like his involvement. I don't like the triple, not triple threat aspect, but just that third wheel kind of thing where he blindsides Keith Lee, and now Drew McIntyre is like keeping Sheamus off Keith Lee's ass. Like, no, that's enough. Don't.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we should be happy that Keith Lee's in the main event. You know, I guess that's like
yeah, it's cool.
A positive, but there's no need for Sheamus to be like, if you want to have a feud with Sheamus, have a feud with Sheamus. But I think Keith Lee's a strong enough act where he can even as a babyface and babyface, just let him feud with the guy. Let him have a personal problem. Let him just have, you know, the whole spirit of competition. That's how you're going to do it. But Sheamus being in there, I think they think, well, we need a heel. There's got to be some kind of drama. And I think they're not right.
Do you, I don't know. How do you think Jeff Hardy's neck is okay?
Did something happen? I just saw him tap out to that Hurt Lock for the third time in a row.
Nah, he just been in a Hurt Lock.
Did he get slammed
week
on it?
he's been locked the fuck up. Nah, I'm joking, Travis. He's
like,
is he okay?
Yeah, yeah.
Nah, he's just been locked the fuck up every week.
In that case, no, I don't think he's
okay. Yeah, man.
Okay.
Nick is fucked
up. I think you should stop signing
man. Really. Yep. Even in promos, like they are. I think it would be fascinating if they have, like, at the Rumble, if they have Lashley lose the U.S. title to Jeff Hardy in, like, some crazy way, and then turn around and have Lashley win the Royal Rumble. Because I really do think that's who they're going with at WrestleMania. I really think so.
That's not
the
worst
talk about
idea.
It in their promos.
After 3 weeks of Jeff Hardy getting his neck swiveled like that, how do you justify giving that man a title shot?
Matt Riddle does what he does and you know, inserts himself in places he shouldn't go. That's a twofer.
I don't think WWE.
I could see them pulling shenanigans.
That's probably that's not gonna happen.
I dig that too. I dig that too. I mean, it could be the other way around. Maybe Riddle gets it. You know, Hulk Hogan's high on him, so that bodes well. Yeah, maybe they do that. By the way, Legends Return to Raw on Monday. How excited are you?
I mean, I guess.
Yeah, I guess.
Who did they even?
And
say
then,
who?
I think I've seen Hogan and Flair. I don't know who outside of them.
Why?
Just because.
Fucking weird.
I mean. Yeah.
You know. You think new year? Let's have some fresh acts. Let's nope. Legend. Like, it just seems out of nowhere. It doesn't seem like a time for the year to have those guys. Or not that any time there's a Legends time of year, but I don't.
Mm-hmm.
Who misses Ric Flair? Have we had time to miss Ric Flair? Have we had time to miss Hogan to do whatever they're going to have? Do? He's going to show up, say, let me tell you something, brother, and, you know,
a reaction they can fake.
That's a good point.
And then the last thing, and of course there's more, but the last thing I'd say, you know, Randy Orton debating on whether or not to set Alexa Bliss on fire.
So was that how
I only saw
that in the highlight package, but did they end Raw like that? Like, did they go fade to black while he's holding the,
they did the Regal HBK Triple H finish where, yeah, they go to black while he's holding the match. And again, he's dialed in. I don't know what that would have, like, you know, is the Fiend's goal to push Randy back to being bad? Because Randy just operates it bad. So, I don't, you know, it's not going to make him no worse is what he does. But, yeah.
I just didn't get any of that whole segment. Like, she's standing there, she douses herself, and then... I haven't liked any of this from the beginning, so it's not no surprise that it's just still fucking stupid. And and for them to just keep going, like after last week, after the Inferno match, and the reaction that got, and people just going, "What the fuck? That was stupid as fuck." We're supposed to believe he's dead because a mannequin burned in the middle of the ring. Come on. And then for them to go, "All right, well let's." Threaten to burn his girlfriend on the fucking show, but not show because whatever. I'm just going to keep doing what I've been doing with this storyline for the last 4 months and just ignore the shit out of it. Like SummerSlam is on in the background, and it was Alexa turned Strowman. I'm like, this is really this old, like her whole involvement, and yeah, it's not great.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk to some folks. Let's hear some voices. 347-202-0103 is the number to call to talk to us. Let's start things out in Newark and talk to Kylan. Kylan, what is on your mind, girl?
Not much, Travis. How are you and Cam doing this week?
Doing okay.
Fucking horrible, man.
Well, yeah, I guess that was kind of reaction. But no. Well, I definitely am doing okay.
Well, in your case, Travis, I'm happy to hear that. And in your case, Cam, I'm sorry
to
hear that.
I'm all right.
Just, you know, shit. Just everything, Island. But yeah, what you got for us?
I'm not sure. If you guys have heard this or not, but something interesting might be happening with Keith Lee.
Okay. Did Twisted T get in contact with him? He's gonna be Keith T, like the meme said.
Okay. Keith T.
No, not quite that, but
all right.
It could happen based upon the information which I'm about to give you.
Okay.
Apparently, a couple weeks ago, on Friday, December 18th, WWE attempted to trademark Keith Lee's name, but it looks like their request will be denied if it hasn't been denied already, because Keith Lee trademarked his own name, and I learned a few days ago that in order to have your name trademarked in the case of WWE, the particular wrestler has to sign a consent form saying they authorize such to happen, which Keith Lee did not sign.
I mean, it's his name. You know what I'm saying? Like, that is the thing. Like, it's actually his name. So he's like, yeah, you're not taking that from me.
So I believe I read that if Keith Lee did not sign this form by today, he keeps the right to his name.
I mean, doesn't him being alive give him the rights to his fucking name? Like, I don't get that. Like,
now, are you saying, Kylan, they're gonna change his name to like Glory Guy?
Oh my, jeez.
I don't know, but
the Basque
you,
man.
You could have passed him.
Yeah, I hate that guy. I hate this stuff when they Yeah, I'm not a fan. Yeah, how do you try to trademark somebody's name and they already did it? Wait, so Keith Lee trademarked Keith Lee? Is that what, did I hear that?
The report is up on Fightful.com. If you guys want to take a look at it real quick, but
yeah, I just want to know if he did Keith Lee trademark his own name. Like, is that what he did?
He put in the request to do it on this actually in August.
Okay. When he started getting the pool, when he got brought up to TV or started getting a real push, he probably was advised. Okay. All right. Anything else for us, Kylan, before we move on?
Oh, and here's some of the list of legends that we'll see on my. So you guys know Hogan and Flair, but Booker T, Sergeant Slaughter, Carlito of all people.
Carlito, I forgot about Carlito, yeah.
Legend in the game, Carlito, cool. Okay.
And Eve Torres.
Okay. I guess.
I'll do respect.
Don't we see
two of
Booker
those names
T,
that
like,
used to work here?
Like Booker T is on TV like every week
and
still in some various way.
Yeah.
Like he's on like a highlight show or
yeah, Booker T is on every on
like,
every
I'm pretty sure Booker T regularly. Like,
yeah.
What's happening? Eve Torres? What? So okay, like great. Now she it'll be redundant if she shows up in the Rumble in a month.
Oh. And we can also include Teddy Long.
Okay. I wonder if Ted DiBiase will be there if he's dealing with his son's.
Yeah, I don't.
Investment
think
case
so.
Or whatever it is. So, all right. Well, thanks, Kylan. We get to see legends. Great. Carlito. All right. Let's head over to Toledo. Talk to Craig. Craig, is that you?
What up?
Yeah, it's me. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah, you sound fine.
Okay, I got a new headset. I'm trying it out.
Oh, sounds good. Present.
Okay,
nice.
Fuck all that. You got a new body, man. Salute to you, man, putting in that work, man.
You mean, it wasn't really work. It was just going to the hospital. Then they drained everything out of me. And then now
yeah.
I'm on pills and
you
doing
find
therapy
ways to...
and all this.
Are you going to your therapy?
Sit-ups, probably.
Doing the shit?
The therapy starts next month, and
okay.
The doctor... I told Miz about it a couple days ago on it. Well, like about a week ago or whatever. But the doctor basically said, fuck this shit, I'm out. And she's like, I'll talk to you on like the 6th or whatever. She took like 3 or 4 weeks off. But the therapy, I was talking to a psychological therapy woman
mm-hmm.
The other day and trying to figure out where I could go with Medicaid because I have Medicaid now. And I was like, I don't want to bother you over the Christmas holiday and New Year's. So I'm going to talk to her after. But I've made the decision and that's kind of cool. Tonight
well,
is going
to
be...
kick therapy in the ass and do everything that they tell you to do.
Oh, yeah, I will. Because I kind of... it's like the end of Scrooge where he's like, I want to live! I want to live! You know? So, tonight's going to be really emotional. And Cam, you did an awesome job. I like saying what happened because you're like very eloquent, and I don't want to say like I don't know what word white people aren't supposed to use. Like, was it articulate or whatever?
Oh my God, Craig.
You're fine, Craig.
You are very clean and articulate, Cam.
No, it was...
Well, thank you. Thank you.
It was... No, he is one of the most eloquent...
Yeah. No, that's why I defer to him. Like,
legitimate.
Why don't you explain? Because I'm going to be emotional and, like, you know, and he can do better. So, yeah.
Yeah. And that was really cool. And also explaining the Bruce thing. Because... I didn't even know that happened, and I was messaging him like the night it happened, and I was like, because I've had my issues with him, especially about like him talking about New Day and stuff like that, and
sure.
I was messaging him and stuff, and I didn't even know this had all happened because I'm just trying to get through the holidays so. I'm, like, really kind of behind on everything and not really paying attention. And I still didn't know until Cam just said it. And like, I was messaging him like, I'm sorry if I contributed to any of your issues and stuff like that. And it's like, I'm not gonna keep talking about it because I know it's been rough on you guys, especially.
If you feel the need to, it's safe space.
Yeah, it's. I mean, you know, I love you guys. You know, I hate when you guys get the.
And the family doesn't get along and shit like that.
Serious.
Yeah,
and then you get the shrapnel and all that shit, and it's stupid. But
I can't get none of that. I stayed out of it. I did not insert myself because I would be fired right along with Bruce if I really was like, you know, to say how I felt. But you know.
Yeah, you guys haven't talked yet about because we're not going to talk again until after Wrestle Kingdom. And are you guys planning on watching that?
You know goddamn well I ain't staying up to no 5 in the morning to watch Japanese wrestling. I will get the fucking rundown from.
I just filled out something on Wrestle Kingdom talking about the best New Japan wrestlers of the year. So who we got this go around? Oh yeah, I know they got a crazy first round match. Because is it Ibushi and Tanahashi? Is that the first round?
Naito and Ibushi.
Sorry,
Jay White
and Ibushi. So you got they threw Jay White in there too. So it's a triple threat.
Well, no, Jay White is he's taking the first night off. So
okay, but I'm saying like
you guys can
maybe
fight it out on
just
the first
been the graphic.
Night. Off. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I couldn't
yeah,
hear you.
I just think like sorry, Craig, I'm all over the place. I've been because I saw the information somewhere. So they had a graphic of, like, I think, like, the four big matches that they're having. And then it was, yeah, because Naito's still a double champion, right?
Yes. They haven't split them up yet.
Okay. So it's him and Ibushi going at it, like, night one.
And then the winner gets to Jay White the next night.
Yeah. I just think it's crazy with them going at each other that first night, but okay. Yeah. I mean, it's going to be a banger. So yeah, what off day of the week at 2 a.m. does it come on, Craig?
It's the 4th and the 5th. So then that's a Monday.
Okay, so it's just...
I'm guessing you guys are working.
Okay.
I don't know. Probably working. I'm not working, so it
yeah,
doesn't
I'm,
matter to me.
I took 2 weeks off. Well, we're off for 2 weeks. I'm back on Monday the 4th. Ain't no damn way. Those kids are going to be calling like crazy. Ain't no damn way I'm watching it live.
Well, I didn't mean live. I just, you know, was wondering if you guys were going to watch it.
No, I'm excited to see that.
Do.
I know
I'm
put your
like
name. I want to see that match.
And watch that shit afterwards. And pick and choose and hear what
yeah,
Rich
I wanna,
has to say.
Yeah.
And then I'll go and watch that match. And, you know, but, yeah.
Well, that, I'm, you know, I love watching it. It's like I've taken vacation days and vacations to watch it live because
yeah.
I love being up at like 4 a.m. whatever, and watching something live because I feel like exclusive, like I'm in an exclusive club or something like that. And I'm watching the 4th and the 5th, and it's gonna be fun as hell. And then on the 6th, I'm giving up drinking until the Super Bowl. So I'm like really looking forward to
last month.
To Yeah, I used to give up all of January, but now I'm gonna have to drink during Wrestle Kingdom because that's just fun to me. Tonight,
National Championship on Friday. Shit, I'm gonna be.
Oh no!
And damn, we get New Year's Eve, and then the next day. Oh yeah. Where's that big bottle of Hen? Oh, it's going down.
Splendid. Tonight is going to be a huge memorial, and I'm really looking forward to it. And I don't know what to expect, but I think that, like, everybody in that company has, and in WWE too, but everybody in AEW has, like, that family. Oh, shit, before I ask this, you brought up the rating on Friday, and the football game led into the SmackDown. That's why they
Who played Friday night?
It was like the Vikings and Saints, I think.
It was a Christmas game, yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
Vikings Saints, where Alvin Kamara scores 6 touchdowns, so everybody's watching.
Yeah, so I thought SmackDown was good. I love the after shows more than I like the shows. Raw Talk and Talking Smack.
Because they're not produced by the old man.
Yes. And
they've always been good.
They did a really good job.
Talking Smack got canceled because it was too fucking good. Like, going to convince me that that's why in 2017 or 18 or whenever they took that off, it was because Renee Young was getting too many props. It was just too good a show. People were making their, you know, bones over there, and it was instead of them going
Daniel Bryan Unleashed,
you
know,
TV more like this, they just canceled it and took something away that the fans like.
Yep, it was off. It was like one of my favorite things on TV, and it's good. It's good with Paul Heyman too, but I think Paul Heyman gets caught up in the air a lot, and he's processing his thoughts a lot, and he stays silent. Like, he's trying to do dramatic pauses, and he just sits there and, like, looks at you. But when he's on, he's on. And also R-Truth on Raw Talk is just friggin' phenomenal. But anyway,
him and Asuka together when he's speaking Japanese, great.
Yes, that was amazing.
What was it the other week? I think it was actually on TV when Truth is like posing with the Hurt Business. Like, yeah, we all got posing with our titles. It's like, wait, did I miss something? Because I'm watching it probably in a highlight show. Like, is the Truth gonna join the, or is this just shenanigans? Yeah, no,
it was all shenanigans. But I was wondering what you guys think. Not to be crass about it, but tonight is the memorial. Do you think the rating is gonna spike because of the memorial? Like, and how much?
Yeah. Amount significant, but along the lines of where they've been trending, so they that going for them too. They've been doing better the last few weeks. This is only going to help, and it just sucks to say it like that, but yeah,
it's hard to think about. Yeah, it's been hard to think about that specific aspect of this whole thing, because nobody cares, not even Tony Khan. He doesn't care if, like, you know, like, this is the lowest rated show of the year. It's like,
oh yeah,
it's just about the memorial.
It's respect and appreciation tonight, absolutely.
And the Being the Elite, you guys got to watch that little. It's like 15 minutes or something like that, but it's funny as hell. They're doing like they have like outtakes and stuff. I don't know if you guys saw it, but it was really good.
I saw
good.
A thumbnail for it. Like somebody, I saw that it was a thing. They were like,
I retweeted it earlier, so if you go on mine. You can see it's like from Jobber Tears. They posted something, and then I watched it, and I thought it was funny as hell.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so it's been a hard week, and it's been a hard year. And I really hope you guys have
absolutely
a fucking great New Year's Eve if you can. And I love you guys. And
definitely fucking on New Year's
Eve.
You have a better one, Craig. Talk to you, man.
All right, have a good one.
Take care of yourself, man.
All right. Let's bring Rich into the conversation. Rich, welcome to the live show.
What up?
Hey, how are you guys?
All right.
Hey, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's on your mind?
I was just gonna help with the Wrestle Kingdom stuff Craig was asking about, but y'all got it. Everything else, you know, I'll talk about what we got to talk about during VIP because I don't have the patience right now.
For sure.
But yeah, I mean. I wanted to go out. I did want to call and hear this just because of the situation that happened. And it's the end of the year. And I don't think people realize how, I guess, the three of us work around how the torch works. And so I took a lot of umbrage when people started putting quotes around journalism and equating the torch with a news site.
Uh-huh.
When I know the amount of work we do, the amount of work Sean does.
Absolutely.
And Emily Fear, Harley Padgett. Like, I feel like, and I'll let y'all talk about this. I feel like the thing that set me off the most was there was a person who had tweeted, defund PW Torch. And... go ahead.
You know, Rich, it's a guy like that you and I, it's a guy you and I have met and like stood there and talked wrestling with it's funny to me because I don't know if you knew who that's who it was, but yes.
I didn't.
That's Alex from Access. So you have every right to be mad about it, but it was absolutely in jest.
Okay. Because a lot of it, I couldn't tell what people had jokes or if people were being serious, and that's usually the scariest time for Twitter.
100%.
And so,
jokes around journalists are fucking worth being serious, and they were just being dickheads, and it's like, what, all of a sudden, they don't do a job and a service, and the you know, fuck you with your quotes. Like, no matter how you
100%.
You feel, like, there's no need to denigrate somebody's job because, you know, like a thing that, especially a thing that somebody else fucking did or said.
Yeah.
You know, like, for Wade to be taking shots, it's like, he did everything pretty much the only way he could have done them. He gave the guy all the chances in the world and then was like, okay, I'm gonna shut the fuck up. And, you know, we have to go our separate ways, whatever.
Yeah.
But, and then, that, you know, to think Bruce didn't know and you know, know he was going, possibly was going to pay the price, and was like, no, I'm going to do it, and I'll pay the price if there's a price to pay.
Yeah.
And then the man made him pay the price. It's like, okay, that's, it's kind of, seems, it's just cut and dry. Like, I don't, yeah, yeah. I had someone just, you know, call, you know, had some choice words about Wade. I'm like, fam, the fuck did you expect Wade to do? Cost himself business because somebody won't shut their mouth?
Yeah, and a big thing, like, I want to make sure I'm clear on, because, of course, like, a big, what's the buzz term? Cancel culture. It's like, guys, this isn't cancel culture. Like, it's not that.
No.
This is like you literally going against the wishes of your employer. That's not cancel culture. That's how you lose jobs anywhere. I need you to do this. No, I'm not going to do that. Okay. Then you cannot do it somewhere else. Like, that's just the way jobs go. You know what I'm saying? Nothing about that was personal. Like if you know anything, if you've listened to them, if you've seen them, like, that's his right-hand man. Like, that's his guy. You know, like, and it was, you gotta appreciate Wade's position on this if you're the type of person who digs deep into this stuff and is really concerned with how all this is going down. That's, again, outside of the people who actually lost someone, because I'm not at all dismissing that. But in terms of what the torch is and what happened, like outside of us, you know, who are, I'm not going to say second string, but our relationship with Wade is different. Like, that was his man that he had to let go because he decided to keep line stepping. Like, he made a conscious effort to say, I'm not going to back down off this, and man felt like he had to cut his losses. Or not even cut his losses, but just, like, he had to respect the situation. And that's how I feel it went down.
Yeah. And for me, I see this stuff, and it's just frustrating that there's this subset of folks. Like, I don't get it twisted. Timing, tone, wrong. But there's a subset of folks that have always wanted that moment, and it just, this was the moment to, and it was hilarious to me to see that, because it's like,
it's so
Rover,
fucking blatantly Rover. Obvious.
Like, when you, I don't know if Trevor's listening right now, but, like, when you take a dude like Sean Radican and you put DMs, but you don't put all the DMs where you tell him to stop simp, go simp for Larry Dallas, or you say the things that are insulting to him, and you don't put that out, that's disingenuous and that's cowardice. And I'm not the type of person that's going to fly to Ireland. Cam is.
I am.
I'm the type of person
right over there with a shillelagh and some point shoes and some wood shoes.
Like, I think a lot of this comes down to that. Like, Cam mentions that all the time
now, but fuck.
Yeah.
Like, it's this absolutely allowed that subset of people who want to be something in this space. You know, the easiest way to never be something in this space is to want to be something in this space. But the people who want to live a gimmick, the people who want to, I don't know, who want to look smart in front of the wrestlers and look cool in front of the wrestlers and be the go-to for information, this was their chance to shine. And they're going to wake up tomorrow and be the same losers they were yesterday. They'll just have to find somebody else to pester. It's just what
it is. Where's LeBron James post the finals? What was that, 2014?
Yeah, I'm going to go do my thing. You're going to wake up to your regular-ass life. And that's just gonna be what it is. Like, it's not. That's the problem. Exactly. It ain't about winning or losing. It's about what you bring to the table, and if people want to digest that, think about it. That man's been existing on tweets and forums as long as you can say. You can't tell me one article he wrote with somebody that they cared about. You can't tell me one podcast he did. You can't tell me one piece of merch that he sold to anybody. He does not matter. he is somebody who somehow has found a niche to where if he repeats something long enough, people will listen to him, and every once in a while he guesses right on what's happening on a show. He's a fucking loser. He's never going to be anything in this space, because if he was going to be something, he would have done it. It's been like 15 years, the fucking dweeb.
Yeah. Yep.
Trey's right next to me, so I'm going to say ditto.
Hey, Magoo.
Yeah.
So, Mr. Cam says, right. Hey, Magoo. All right. Well, thank you guys for that. Yeah, we got to call my great my wife's grandmother, and then we set up a football. He does all-time QB in the basement. Well, I'm all-time QB, and he's the defensive backslash receiver that shuts his mother down and talks smack while he's, like, you know, turning into Ronnie Lott on his mother.
Man about to chew his own finger off.
Oh, all right, finger
yeah, he's like, don't go over that middle. Don't go over that middle.
All right, we'll talk to Rich in VIP. See you, man.
All right, later, guys.
All right, see, we got another 111 crate. Craig, is that you again still? You got two lines open?
Nah, I think this is me.
Oh, shit, my bad. Yeah, who's me? Who this? Did you want to be on? You got your hand up.
Yeah. This is Will. What's going on, fellas?
What's happening?
Not much, man.
Who this? Black Dog? That's you?
Yeah, that's me. It's
what's
been a minute.
Man? Long time no hear.
Not much, man. You know what?
Who are you calling from? Skype? I don't see your Long Island number.
Nah, it should be the 631 number.
Your New York number.
Oh, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, so I thought you was Craig. So what's going on?
Well, I'm going to be super brief with this. With the holiday last week, you know, I was sitting around watching Soul, you know, the movie, and then you hear the news of John Huber, and it kind of made me introspective of just, you know, wonder just to be kind and reach out to folk when you hear the impact that he has, you know. So basically, I just wanted to call up today to basically wish both of y'all, you know, a happy and prosperous new year, you know, a continued success with all the podcast, with all your journalism stuff, and just helping out other people, you know, when it comes to being a black
quotes around that, did you?
What was that?
You didn't put quotes around journalism.
No. Okay. No quotes here. This is straight up being genuine. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
But real talk. You know, just what you guys do for creators, what you guys do for wrestling fans, what you guys do for the community in general. Just want to wish y'all a happy new year and continued success with everything you guys do, man.
Hey, man, thanks a lot.
Thank you so much, man.
Yeah. Hey, no problem.
Man, you take care. Take care of that family over there, man. Always good talking to you. Absolutely, just still so glad we got to link in real life. Hopefully we get to do that again sooner than later.
Once everything opens up, I'm on a flight to Austin, and we're going to kick it again for real.
I need it. I've been doing sit-ups, so let's do it.
I heard you here, so you can't back down now.
There you go.
I seen it.
All right. Well, thanks for...
Goddamn.
Appreciate you calling, even if it's just to tell us how great we are. Thanks. All right. That was Black Dog. Will from New York. I guess... Wrap things up, head down south and talk to Jarrell. Let's where'd he go? There you are. Jarrell, what's going on, man?
What up? What's going on, you guys?
You know. A little bit of this, a little bit of that.
Hey man, you know.
What's on your mind?
Not too much, man. Oh, whoever kicked y'all off. Y'all check them niggas, pin check them. Y'all sound a little butt hurt right there.
I'm
letting them hurt your butt.
I am. I'm mad as shit.
About what? Now, am I talking to which Cam am I talking to? Am I talking to Twitter Cam? Am I talking to East Coast Cam?
I'm
am
chilling.
I talking to Cam to be on the tour thing? You know? I don't know.
Nah, man, I'm chilling. Everything's cool.
Okay, then. I want to say this, man. Tomorrow's the last day for early voting. Y'all go ahead and get that done. Get that taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
You in Georgia. And I see that we part of the same seven Dragon Ball set, Texas and Georgia, you know, if we the final seven of the COVID Dragon Ball hot states.
Man. It's hot.
Mm-hmm.
I said we had like 27,000 confirmed cases or something. Like, yeah, it was just wild right now.
Yeah. Homeboy of mine just passed away, massive heart attack, a day ago.
Oh, sorry to hear that, man.
Damn.
And then the nigga, he came from Daytona and came up here to the Georgia area. I told you, DP, be up here in that booty juice and Corona.
Jesus Christ.
So, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, he was at a friend's house, and he was sleeping on the couch instead of them telling him to go to the hospital because he was looking bad. They told him, man, just sit right there and just lay for a second. You know, having a heart attack on the sofa, dying right there on the sofa, man. The dog.
Hmm.
Yeah, and then niggas went and robbed his house after they heard he was dead.
Oh. Oh. Jeez. Hmm. What the fuck?
No good ass negro.
Damn, that's salty as shit.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, just and also give y'all an update. You know, this early election thing down this way is they doing more numbers than they did during the general election. So maybe we go ahead and pull this out.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's yeah. I mean, y'all got all the evidence y'all fucking need. Y'all got a couple of crooks running for fucking Senate. You know, ain't no if Warnock lose, he lose for one reason, and that's because Georgia not, you know, and this would be pretty obvious. Even Purdue, he would have a couple of crooks. I mean, I said it already. It's just, yeah, nah, fuck both of them.
Yeah, and you know they had that bombing over there in Tennessee. Oh. Little white man bombed the little downtown area. His girl.
Lone Wolf. He just needs mental health. Not terrorism.
Man.
What else? What
giving
else
him a good
say?
Job.
What else can I say to defend this man? Yeah, no, fuck out of here.
Oh, yeah. Then his girlfriend told on him in 2009, told him that he was building a bomb. Police didn't go check on him, but let them say, hey, them brothers over there look like they selling dope because they got a lot of foot traffic. Or they coming in there with guns ablazing, kicking in doors, waving the fofo. Always hearing Papa don't hurt me no more. But hey, you know, that's how life, you know, that's how life be, man. But off the real world topic, man. I ain't hear y'all talk about the Daniel Bryan promo that he cut on Talking Smack.
With
every week Talking Smack.
So it was him and Paul Heyman, right?
Yeah.
I mean, when somebody's always good, it's kind of hard to single out, you know, the things that they do. But that's absolutely a match I want to see.
Uh-huh. And
you know, I'm sure, I know they've
done
it before, but that is something I want to see. Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he's the first person
to
say he was entering the Rumble. So it's hard for anybody else to win it once you done said that he's going to win it.
Since he said that, yeah. I think, are those two on the short list? I think Big E winning the IC title kind of takes him off of that list. That gives him something to do for a while.
How they book Big E?
But yeah,
he's been out of that darkness for a while. He like the Phoenix Sun, right? Always.
Yeah, I really like those two though. Bryan and Lashley would be my two right now. I could see Sheamus, but you know, especially in a situation where you know it's a pandemic, we're not live. But yeah, I like Lashley and Bryan as my top two right now.
Yeah, I think it depends. If Lashley don't have a match at the Rumble, then you can see them probably letting original bro kick him up out of the Rumble, so to set up his WrestleMania match. So it depends on if he don't have a match at the Rumble.
I don't see Brian winning the Rumble. That's
if they doing how they looking like they doing Kevin Owens versus Roman Reigns again at the Rumble. That's the biggest match that they can have. And we got to say something about the character of Roman Reigns and how good that character is. And how he builds up other superstars and makes them better than where they was before they met him and stuff like that, a la old Ric Flair. How Ric Flair character, but how they used to use him in the 80s and move people up to make them look more like superstars, like he did Cam Robinson, Lex Luger, a whole lot of people. And that's I think why Roman Reigns is the best character today, probably in the past 10 years, ever since, probably, well, most people don't want to give credit to, but John Cena. He's probably the best character I've seen so far because how he evolves, how he elevates everybody else. Like, we can say Jey Uso is a semi-main event guy because of Roman. He restructured Kevin Owens. We can say, well, Vince will destroy him after he finished feuding with Roman, but if he don't touch him right now, Kevin Owens is high, in a higher position than he ever was in the past 2 years. Because of the character of Roman. He makes those guys feel more important. I think that's the difference between him and other characters. Like, he had Kenny Omega making whatchamacallit feel like he was a nothing. Like, why should anybody want to be behind Phoenix when you got the guy tearing the man down? You don't make nobody feel like he deserved to be in the main event. But everybody who Roman has touched so far feels main event. And I feel like he's the linchpin to where now we can start having regular, everyday guys being on the main event of WrestleMania just because of this guy right here, Roman Reigns, this character.
Yeah, this is a different, you know, I don't think 2-3 years ago, you know, guys who were lined up to feud with Roman Reigns were coming out on the other side better and moreover bigger stuff. Like, obviously, Jey Uso has been. And it's because of Roman, he's not an actual main eventer because Roman can't lose. So Jey has to be, you know, in their heel. So their heels. So sometimes, you know, when the loss needs to happen, it's
gotta do stupid shit.
Jey Uso taking the loss. So he's not going to be, you know, that ever really get that high up because of it. But he is probably.
But you haven't been really taking
the most money he's made. He's up. He's having the. He's at the top of the card, regardless whether he's, you know, what position he's in, and he's just getting a ton of TV time and getting to develop his personality over weeks and months. You know how Brennan must feel when, like, the Usos as a tag team anytime in the last 8 to 12 years, no matter how good of a push they were getting, to know, like, okay, this could all just, they could just drop our angle, drop our storyline, and not think anything of it. So we got to, like, try to get all our stuff in personality-wise, match quality-wise. But knowing you have the time and the company dedication, and that's going to let you build and become a, if you need to become a different Jey Uso, which he did, they let him, you know, turn into that new Jey Uso over the course of months instead of a few episodes or a few weeks. Like, this thing's been going for 4 months, and slowly but surely he's developing. He's his own man. He's not even a twin anymore. Mainly because you don't see Jimmy on TV next to him, so you kind of it's just not thrown in your face. But yeah, and then KO, like you said, he came into this feud you know, just as a body, as somebody, I think, to feud with Reigns. And they managed to turn that into something serious and real and got two really good matches, got a fucking really good cage match. That cage match was really good. And that finish was fucking spectacular. Just the agony of his foot not being able to touch, his feet not being able to touch. Yeah, so good.
Yeah,
so,
especially when he was
Roman Reigns 2020
saying he will be out a little bit.
I give Roman Reigns MVP, even though he was only around probably 5 months out of the year.
Yeah, I really did like that. I think that's cool. That's cool. That's cool, man. And so y'all don't have to be on for so long, man. Hey, I ain't gonna talk about you on what y'all been talking about for the longest, man. But hey, I hate you. What they say, you live long enough. If you're a hero, you live long enough until you become a villain. So that's how it mostly happens.
You die a hero or live long enough to.
Live long enough. Now you're the villain. You know. That's how it always seemed to turn out and play. So, you know, everybody has their expiration date anyway. So it was around about that time, I guess, for the expiration date to happen.
Maybe. Mm. So, all right. Good talk to you, man.
Yes, sir.
I'm sure Bruce would say I've always been a villain in some form or fashion. But yeah, so that wraps it up.
Are you watching already?
Watching what? So
they had the entire roster come out. Tim Bell salute. His wife and two sons in the front. One of his sons is wearing his gear. The other one's wearing a like an Evil Uno mask with the kendo stick. Yeah, it was a lot.
All right, it's going to be an interesting episode of Dynamite. Rich and I'll be by VIP to talk about it. So yeah, free folks, the ride's over. Fun time is ending. We'll be back next week, same time, same channel. Rich and I'll be by for VIP, for you VIP folks. So click over and listen to another hour or so of content. So. For Cam, I'm Trav. We out of here. On this, damn it, recording it. Stop, I get off my job. He ain't supporting this, subordinate. So you show caps and crazy ornaments. Decorate my chest, got stripes, night like Jordans. I walk on air to my throne, Patron and cognac, flashing out my flash. Two pass and hold that. So, see the medals on my vest. Champion, full metal, chilling.